Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Wednesday today. It's the day before Thanksgiving. Absolutely beautiful weather down here in Florida. Hope everybody else is staying warm up north. I know you guys are, a lot of people up north and Midwest are getting quite a bit of a flurry right now, a bit of a more snowstorm. So be sure you're staying prepared and warmed up for that. And also, again, I want to remind everybody, actually let everybody know up front, we have not released the coupon code yet for Thanksgiving and so forth and the entire Black Friday weekend. I'm going to release it out here on this show today before anybody else gets it. It's actually not even going out via email until I think tomorrow or Friday. I've had a lot of listeners ask me about it, a lot of people emailing me about it, ask me if we're going to run a sale. Yes, we're going to run a sale. Yes, I'm going to give it to you guys first before anybody else gets it. We're doing 5% off everything store-wide. That's HGH Stimulates on sale for 20% off right now. This coupon code can be stacked on top of that. Product of the week, same thing. So if there's something you wanted to get a hold of that's on sale, if there's something that you wanted to get in general, now is the time. The coupon code for Thanksgiving, basically this year, is going to be Thanks 2019, no spaces, nothing fancy with it, just Thanks, T-H-A-N-K-S 2019, Thanks 2019, and that is active right now. It's only going to be active for a couple days because it's essentially the Black Friday sale, so it'll be going on until, I think, Saturday morning. So be sure, if you wanted to get a hold of something on the website at healthmasters.com, Thanks 2019, get you discounts store-wide, no restrictions. Enjoy. Have a blessed Thanksgiving Day. And other than that, Dad, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm blessed, Austin. Now, that coupon also includes kits, too, right? So if you get a three-pack special that's on sale for 20 or 30% off the product, you can stack it on that, too, right?
Everything. 100% right. There are no restrictions. Three packs, kits, everything.
Okay. You guys have fun with that. Oh, by the way, I've got a video this morning. Another lady in Colorado had bought a horse. It looked like Trigger from the Roy Rogers Show. It was a Palomino, beautiful horse, and it was a problem horse. And what was funny about it to me, and of course it's not really funny, but it was ironic, is I had a friend of mine, his name's David, he's a pastor out of St. Louis, and he had a horse that looked identical to this. In fact, it could be the same horse. I mean, we're talking a twin clone. And David got rid of that horse because it was so unruly. It would bite you. It would throw you off. If you got near it, it'd try to kick you. No, Austin, this horse was schizoid. And the craziest thing, he found out that when he bought the horse, paid good money for it, they had tranquilized the horse. The horse was like, you know, on like, you know, Valium, I guess, or something, what the horse equivalent is. And it was just chilled out. It was super nice. You could ride it. First time he got on it, you know, he went for a 10, you know, foot ride in the air, down. Then the horse tried to come over and stomp him and kick him and bite him. And he bought it for his daughter. And we tried to make friends with it. Sharon's like a horse girl. And we actually walked up to it, you know, to the fence and rah, start kicking at the fence. I mean, the thing was like, either been terribly abused or just nuts. And so a horse just like that, somebody had bought it in Colorado, and it wouldn't listen to him. It was a troubled horse. I bet it was the same one. And they had to try to get it back. It was snowing, and the roads were covered in snow, and they had about 100 yards to get back to the stable, and the horse just stopped, wouldn't go, refused to go. And so they tied the lead to the horse to the bumper of the truck, and they pulled it 100 yards real, real slow to get it back. And the horse is kicking and, you know, trying to sit down, and I mean, just like a mule. And well, somebody videotaped it and sent it to the local news. The horse was seized for animal cruelty. The ladies, now they're thinking about indicting her on animal abuse charges, felony charges, because she tied a horse to, and she went really slow with it just to get it moved. So here's my question to you guys who've never had animals or who have animals. And I talked to Karen this morning. She's a regular show contributor, and she's really into horses. In fact, she was a, you know, world leading jockey. And she wrote a book on this, and, you know, not on, you know, being a jockey, but also in some of the stuff that she encountered while she was being a jockey. And she said there was nothing wrong with what the lady did. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question. What should the lady have done? Should she have left the horse in the snow to freeze to death? Okay? Should she have called, you know, somebody to come help her, a vet, to tranquilize it and to pull it back in? What would the proper thing have been? I mean, I've trained a lot of dogs. I mean, big animals, big, dumb, stupid Malamutes. I mean, dumb animals. And you think, well, are they really that dumb? Yeah, don't ever buy a Malamute. They're beautiful animals. They love kids, but they are dumb. And you get a giant Malamute that's 150, 160 pounds, and you try to control it with a harness, it thinks it's pulling a sled. It's just going to run away with you. And, you know, so you basically have to get a choke chain. And you have to train the dog with a choke chain. And you can train it with rewards, et cetera. So is that abuse too, choke chaining a dog? You know, dragging a horse? I mean, the reason the horse got dragged is it just refused to walk. And they were going very, very slowly. Now, to me, the video looks like they speeded up the truck, which is what the newscast would do, because if it was crawling and the horse was flailing.
Yep.
Now, if they were driving down the road at 60 miles an hour, dragging a horse on his back or whatever, okay, yeah, okay, put everybody in jail. You know, even 20 miles an hour is ridiculous, but just kind of trying to get 100 yards down the road to get the thing put into a stall so it doesn't freeze to death? Yeah. How far is this going to go? By the way, Donald Trump has signed, listen to this, a new bill. It's called an animal cruelty bill, and it's targeting heinous and sadistic animal crush video producers with long prison terms, as animal advocate daughter-in-law Laura says she could not be more excited. Now, this is some sick stuff. I'm not going to talk about it, but the law carries a maximum of 7 years in prison, and that is not what was going on with this horse. This is some perverted stuff they're doing with animals. But the reality is this, guys, you know, where in the world do we draw the line with animal rights? Where do we draw that line? I mean, if you've ever gone to a slaughterhouse, it ain't pretty pretty. Look at halal butchers and, you know, kosher butchers with animals. They cut the doggone main veins in the neck and let them bleed out, and they're laying there pumping the blood out as they're dying. I mean, where is the cruelty aspect? I mean, how far do we let this go? How much rights do the animal rights activists have? And, you know, the main reason we have so many animal rights actors, actually, have you, they are actually actors, animal rights advocates, is this. There was a TV show back in the 60s, and it was called Flipper. This is when it all started. You know, Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. You don't remember that show, also, because it wasn't very good, but it was really kind of interesting because it was in color, and it got the show down to the Keys, and they had a dolphin in captivity. And just, so all the animal rights activists loved Flipper in the beginning, but they started thinking, well, now you're being mean to it. Well, that ended up with, you know, big, you know, things down with, you know, killer whales in captivity. And some of that stuff can be kind of excessive with these animals and what they do to them. But the reality is, had we not had these animals in captivity to start with, or riding horses to start with, or having Flipper on TV to start with, the animal rights activists never would have existed. And then there wouldn't be places out there that people are putting up huge, you know, reserves for animals in Africa because they're being hunted to extinction in a lot of areas. So it's a catch-22. It's a double-sided sword. But how much of that should a person be able to do as far as in a slaughterhouse or tying a horse to a bumper, or should you let the horse freeze to death out in the snow? Or should you sit there for 3 or 4 or 5 hours or 2 or 3 days waiting for the horse to decide it wants to walk back to the stable? Where do you draw the line? So I'm asking you guys, right into Austin. I don't even know. And Austin, oh gosh, thanks, Dad. I got to deal with all that. But guys, think about that for a second. Austin, go ahead. What's your next story?
Yeah, I appreciate all the animal rights activist emails. Please keep them short so I can read them quickly. Thank you for that. And I mean, just to address that, you know, this is what I brought up the other day with the amendment in Florida that passed. Unfortunately, the state of Florida population passed, basically stating that, you know, we want to ban greyhound dog racing in 2020 and so forth. There has to be a fine line, and the line has to be drawn and it has to be kept, because I mean, when you're dealing with animals that we use for butchering, for eating, for, you know, protection and so forth, there has to be a level of control and dominance over the animals. That's just my take on it. We can't start running around saying that we have to have a free-for-all. If you believe in a free-for-all, go to some of the third world countries down in South America, or go to Africa where they have wild dog packs running around, 20, 30 dogs at the time, giant cat packs. If you haven't seen those before, they're actually quite disturbing. Hundreds of cats will be roaming around just doing anything they want. It reaches a point where there has to be balance in with those two elements, with human beings and animals. But I'm not going to get into all that today. Also, in other news, this is something that I want to bring up that's interesting. In New Zealand now, remember a couple months ago, the alleged shooting that they had over there, the video released, and all of a sudden everybody in New Zealand was like, what are we going to do? New Zealand came in and banned semi-automatic weapons literally overnight, saying you had to turn them in. It was illegal to have a magazine-fed weapon. It was illegal to have this. It was illegal to have that. You had to turn them in. And they've gotten a significant amount of backlash and very few weapons that have actually been turned in. But they said it's for protection. You know, we have to protect the people from these dangerous guns. We have to save lives. We can't allow people just to die out of nowhere because they didn't know a firearm was being used against them that's a weapon of war. You know, the whole spiel they love to do. Well, ironically enough, in a 69-51 vote, New Zealand's parliament has now voted to pass what is called the End of Life Choice Bill, which will now legalize euthanasia and assisted suicide for people over the age of 18. The controversial legislation recently passed its third and final reading in the New Zealand House and will now be voted on by a referendum in New Zealand's upcoming 2020 general election. Now, the only problem is that most New Zealanders don't understand what this bill is about, nor do they understand the title of it and its misleading statements that it has. According to the reports and surveys, nearly three out of four New Zealanders think the End of Life Choice Bill is about giving people the opportunity to simply turn off life support machines for terminally ill. They go on to say that over 70% think that the refusal to be resuscitated is what the bill is about. Basically, DNR, do not resuscitate. And what they don't realize is the End of Life Choice Bill will make it possible for any person over the age of 18 that receives a diagnosis of essentially even a terminal ill status on Wednesday to gain approval under the bill that same day to be dead before the weekend. Those exact words from a member of parliament. Also, too, they're stating a minimum period of 48 hours is all that's required to pass between the medical or nurse practitioner writing a prescription and also administering the lethal dose of the drug. In the end, the bill could end up passing due to deception. It's ironic seeing on how New Zealand's parliament decided to ban guns in order to save lives following the mass shooting that allegedly took place back in spring. But now they think it's fine to allow New Zealanders to take their own lives if they feel that they are too sick to live, but allow New Zealanders the opportunity to protect themselves in self-defense using firearms. Well, that is off limits. So they're saying here that essentially if you have a disease, if you have an illness, if you simply are having problems and you do not want to live any longer, you can get approval to suicide yourself or have yourself euthanized. Interesting topics. This is always a topic that we brought up. Are you for this? Are you not for this? Do you think this is okay? What is in all essence of this, though, is why I brought it up. The irony of this is that they banned semi-automatic firearms because they were trying to save lives and prevent people from being able to defend themselves, but now they are essentially going to legalize euthanasia and assisted suicide. Just kind of two sides of the spectrum there that I thought were almost ironic, if not comical, that we see in that country that are really contradicting one another with the same concept, Dad. So I thought that was just an interesting thing that's going on in New Zealand right now.
Well, New Zealand's, I've been there. You've been there. I mean, it's a beautiful country. A lot of reindeer, a lot of sheep, a lot of green grass, a lot of mountains, a lot of wind. I mean, place is gorgeous. And then, you know, it's just pretty much all white people, you know, just be frank with you. And of course, they're bringing in huge amounts of immigrants now to change the demographics of the country. The problem is the extreme liberal left lesbian women have pretty much taken over that country like they did Sweden. And they're bringing in these horrible, horrible laws because they just think they need to have horrible laws. I guess. I mean, that's the only reason I can understand why they would do it, because they think, well, how much of a, you know, I guess they must sit around every night and smoke crack and figure, let's see if we can figure out the worst possible law we can possibly pass tomorrow just to piss everybody off, excuse my language. But that's how they act. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So it's nuts. By the way, just tying together with medical butchery and poisoning and basically euthanasia, medical errors kill 5 people per minute. 2.6 million people every year. A new report published by the World Health Organization estimates that 2.6 million people die annually in low and middle income countries from medical errors. And most of these deaths are related to misdiagnosis and administration of pharmaceutical products. I guess it could tie right in with euthanasia. According to the WHO, 4 out of every 10 patients are harmed during primary and ambulatory health care. Did you hear this? 40% are harmed. The most detrimental errors are related to diagnosis, prescription, and the use of medicines. Remember, a diagnosis is what's called an educated guess. They're kind of thinking, well, I think this is what's wrong, but I'm not really sure. Let's give this a try. Let's see what this medicine does. See if this kills you. Maybe not to that level, but that's how it seems sometimes. The WHO believes that the impact of the harm to victims of these mistakes made by doctors and other healthcare providers lead to financial losses in the trillions of dollars. Medication errors alone cost an estimated $42 billion annually in the United States. Just errors. Unsafe surgical care procedures can cause complications in up to 25% of patients, resulting in 1 million deaths during or immediately after surgery annually, notes the WHO. No one should be harmed while receiving health care. Duh. Yeah, right. And yet globally, at least 5 patients die every minute because of unsafe care, says the WHO director. Guys, I'm posting this on the Health Masters website because I just want to share this with you. I mean, let me say something to you. You know, we've got to understand something. If we are going to stay healthy, it's up to us. Okay? To each individual. You have to make choices. You have to make decisions. Let me give you an example. Saturday, we went to a furniture shop in town, and it's a great furniture shop. I'm not going to mention any names because I know the people there, and they really have good quality stuff. And one of the guys was there, one of the managers, and he's 55 years old. He's been diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer. And you think, okay, that's kind of young for prostate cancer. Yeah, that's what I thought. So I started talking to him, and I said, you know, prostate cancer is usually very slow growing. And, you know, it doesn't kill you. It usually dies of something else. I mean, do you really want to do this? Because I had a really good friend of mine. His name was Richard. And a couple of years, well, about 20 years ago, he called me up, diagnosed with prostate cancer. And within 90 days, he was dead. I'm not joking, guys. The chemotherapy killed him deader than a doornail. I mean, he was dead. He's at about 65 years old, about my age now. And I couldn't believe he died so quick. And, I mean, he had no symptoms at all. He wasn't even having frequent urination, nothing. And they decided they had to remove the prostate, start him with chemotherapy, radiation, and all the rest, dead 90 days later. Couldn't believe it. So I'm talking to this 55-year-old, and I said, there are a lot of alternatives here. You might want to get more doctors to give you choices and maybe get another diagnosis before you start undergoing this treatment protocol. He goes, nah, I'm going to just do it. I said, well, you know, it's going to have a whole bunch of different side effects. And, of course, as you know, as my listeners, including impotency, can be one of the primary side effects of complete removal of the prostate. And he goes, oh, I know. I've talked to my wife about it. We're willing to live with that. And I said, all right. And I said, are you willing to live with the fact that they may kill you within 90 days? Well, you know, I really don't think they're going to do that. I said, okay. All right. I said, but are you willing to change your diet? I said, because if you've got cancer here, you're probably eating a lot of stuff that you shouldn't eat. And he goes, I drink three, listen to this, stay with me. I drink 3 pots of coffee a day. And I said, whoa. I mean, so you're drinking like 20 to 30 cups of coffee a day. He goes, yeah. And he said, I drink a pot before I even leave the house, a whole pot. And I'm like, well, do you realize that the methylxanthine component of that can increase the risk of cancers, particularly breast cancer women, and there's no telling what it could do to you? It's a lot of caffeine, it's a lot of methylxanthine, it's a lot of cortisol, which is a stress hormone, it's really unhealthy. And I said, you know, you got to stay away from nitrites. You know, bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, cured meats. He goes, well, every day they come in, they bring us lunch, they bring us sausage. So they're eating pork. Every day they're eating pork products. And I'm like, what the heck, man? I mean, am I talking to somebody who's even trying to stay healthy? And I said, well, are you going to change your diet? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, are you going to change your diet? And he goes, well, I'm thinking about it. He gave me a book on changing my diet. I'm like, that's not a question, bud. I said, are you going to change your diet? Are you going to stop drinking, you know, 30 cups of coffee a day? And I have to think about it. Now, I'm going to say something here to you guys real quick. This is an extreme case. I got that, right? I'm giving you an extreme case. True case, nonetheless, I'll keep you posted whether the guy lives or not. 55 years old, prostate cancer, just eats sugar hand over fist in his coffee and everything else every day. Probably eating 60, 70, 80 teaspoons of sugar a day in his coffee. So why in the world did this man think he was supposed to be healthy? Okay, I'm asking you guys a question. Now, you know, you're sitting here with me right now, okay? We're sitting by the fire and I'm asking you a question. Are you willing to change that diet now? I mean, what does it take? What does it take for you to change your diet? I mean, where does it have to go? I mean, here's another article from The Sun. Pig of a meal. More than 700 tapeworms found in a man's brain and chest after he ate not properly cooked pork. Now, you think about that for a second. Over 700 cooked worms. He is believed to have ingested eggs of the parasite Tinea psyllium, better known as the pork tapeworm, which then hatched en masse. The man's brain showed a colony of creepy worms, which would explain his fits and passing out. A scan of the man's patient's chest showed the worms are everywhere in his chest. The construction worker was treated in the hospital, is likely to contract the nightmarish infestation after eating improperly cooked pork. Initially went to the doctor after suffering from regular seizures, foaming at the mouth, and also fainting seemingly at random over the past few weeks. Over 800 tapeworms throughout his body, systemic. Now, we're not even talking about trichina. That's probably everywhere, too. They're microscopic. I mean, he's got tapeworms in his brain. So you say, well, that's awful. Well, let me ask you a question. Here's the question for you right now, friends. You say, well, that won't happen to me because I cook my pork properly. All right. Okay. So you're telling me you know that pork probably has tapeworms in it and trichina larvae in it, but you're going to cook it until they're dead, and then you're going to eat the trichina larvae and the tapeworm eggs, just hoping they're dead, knowing that they're in the meat. Okay, let's start over. How about we just don't eat the pork? How about we follow what God's dietary laws said and don't eat the pork? Man, you're putting us back under the law. Hey, we're by grace. I mean, we are. We're saved by grace through faith. But those dietary laws are the same. They're like the law of gravity. They don't change. You step off a 10-story building, whether you believe you're going to fall or not, it's going to be a really negative experience for you. But yet, I'll eat my pork if I won't eat my pork. You ain't telling me what to do about my pork. I'm having ham tomorrow for Thanksgiving. Okay. You have your ham. You go ahead and do your ham. You pray over it. You eat it. And I hope and pray that you don't get parasitic infestation from it. But why do you want to take that chance? Think about that for a second. Why in the world does anyone want to take that chance? That's why I learned a long, long time ago, I stay away from pork. I follow the Torah, the five first books, the Pentateuch, the Levitical law, and I don't eat pork. I don't do it. I don't eat pork and I don't eat shellfish. Now, got to cover something else with you real quick. This is interesting. Christian TV evangelist, I'm not going to mention his name. Big guy, though. Big guy in the Christian world. I'm not going to mention his name. I've listened to his show. I like a lot of stuff that he says, but here's what I'm not going to mention his name. He'll do an hour show, and it takes 30 to 40 minutes to get to the point of what he's talking about in the beginning of the show, and a lot of the stuff is just fluff. I don't like shows like that, so I'm not going to promote his name. But he said this Christian evangelist says that the push to impeach Trump is a Jewish coup, and he goes, this country could be in a civil war by Christmas time, which this is just fear-mongering. It's not going to happen. We're going to be a civil war by Christmas. Maybe after Christmas, but before Christmas. And then he goes on and says, a Christian televangelist is raising eyebrows with his claim that this is what's going on. And he goes, reportedly titled his Friday night broadcast, Jew Coup, Seditious Jews Orchestrating Trump Impeachment Lynching. But it was removed by YouTube. I imagine it was. And he goes into detail about the Jews. Now let me stop for just one second. You can't do this, and I've talked about this repeatedly. But just because you got left-wing Jews, who basically are a nightmare, they're communist nightmare, lesbian, homosexual, gay, hardcore, just steeped in sin Jews, you can't throw all the Jews under the bus and say the Jews are trying to impeach Trump. Now, there are a lot of Jews involved in the impeachment of Trump. That's a fact. We got to look at that. Dual Israeli citizens. We got that already. We talked about that on the show. But you can't make it a Jewish coup. What you can make it is a satanic coup. What you can make it is what Otto Kahn said, that the international bankers control both sides of the media in order to get their desired results. Let me read you that again. I pulled that up again. And this is very, very important you guys get this. He says, he has asked why the bankers would back Bolshevism, a system supposedly against private ownership. Kahn tugged on his enormous cigar and explained that the bankers create apparent opposites to remake the world according to their specifications. Quote, You say that Marxism is the very antithesis of capitalism, which is equally sacred to us. It is precisely for this reason that they are in direct opposites to one another, that they put into our hands the two poles of this planet and allow us to be its axis. These two contraries, like Bolshevism and capitalism, basically find their identity in the international. Our mission consists of promulgating a new law and creating a god. So this is to bring in the, this is to bring in the, their antichrist. He says, this is what it allows. He says, our essential dynamism makes uses of the forces of destruction to the forces of creation, but uses the first to nourish the second. Our organization for revolution is evidenced by destructive Bolshevism and for the destruction of the League of, and for the construction of the League of Nations, which is also our work. Now, here's the thing, and I tell you guys, I quote this guy all the time. They control both sides of the news. Now, here's an interesting article by Israel Shamir, okay? And it's from the UNS Review. I've got this posted on the website. And here's what it says. Trump woos the Jews, means gives them everything they want, and the Jews impeach Trump. He's saying the same thing. Trump woos Jews. I got this posted on the website. Trump woos Jews, but I think I've got it. Trump woos the globalists. The globalists impeach Trump. Now you say, why would you take the name Jews off the link? Well, because I don't want my website banned. I'm just being honest with you guys. But I'm letting you guys, that's what it's going to say in there. You can read it. Let's review. It says, the impeachment farce is basically a Jewish affair, noted the Israeli Daily Haaretz. The soul and engine of the impeachment is Adam Schiff. They call him Shifty Schiff in Trump's colorful expression. His name brings to mind the Jewish banking house of Schiff, top Jewish aristocracy of money and media, the founders of the Federal Reserve, one of the founders. The second man is Greedy Goldman, or Daniel Sachs Goldman, the chief interrogator of the impeachment hearings. Sachs Goldman, or is Goldman Sachs, another top Jewish name and bank. The third Jew in the heart of the impeachment is the infamous George Soros. Harris could add that the top witnesses for prosecution are also Jewish. The bizarre Gordon Zelensky loves your Sonderland or Venom in the Spy. Trump would never dare to notice this remarkable coincidence, concludes Harris, because only anti-Semites would. Now, that's why I put it this time. You gotta go, why are we talking about this day before Thanksgiving? Because it's in the news right now. That's why we're talking about it, because the guys, they're trying to impeach him. So what they're doing is, the Jews, the Rothschilds, but they're not really Jews, they're the synagogue of Satan, this group, okay, this is Luciferians, they also control the Federal Reserve Bank, which is throwing like $100 billion a day into the markets, pushing the markets up at all-time highs, all-time highs, all-time highs. If they really wanted to get rid of Trump, they'd crash the market right now. I'm telling you guys this again. Donald Trump's going to win the 2020 election. Don't be all stressed out if you want Donald Trump to win. He's going to win. The Circus Clown Act, which is the Democratic nominees for the president, are almost a joke. I posted a Saturday Night Live skit on our website that you guys can watch it, the news thing. You'll laugh your head off. It's so funny, but it's so true. It's like a circus clown act. I mean, it's one of the funniest things I've ever watched. They're doing this to basically entertain you with bread and circuses. If they wanted to get rid of Trump, the Rothschild banking cartel would contract the M1 money supply, putting us into a massive recession, crashing the market 20,000 points, and Donald Trump would be gone. Bye-bye, forever, and amen, done. They haven't done that. So this shows you, on this article from UNS, exactly what I read you from the guy, Otto Kahn, from 100 years ago. They control both sides of the narrative, the yin and the yang. They control it all, because they want you to believe what they want you to believe. When you go to Drudge now, Drudge is basically pro-homosexual, pro-gay, pro-lesbian, anti-white. It's just unbelievable, the stuff that you read on the Drudge Report now that he's promoting. And it's all anti-Trump, anti-Trump, anti-Trump. You say, well, he's anti-Trump. No, he's not. He's being told what to promote on his website. He was given that website during the Monica Lewinsky affair. That's why he's a weirdo. All these guys are weirdos. You talk to them, Jeff Bezos, they're weirdos. They're all a bunch of weirdos, a bunch of cutouts. They could never make it in the real world on their own, because nobody would ever buy anything from them, because their personalities suck. And that's who these guys are. They're a bunch of weirdos. But they're given huge, it's like that guy I told you about a couple weeks ago in China, the richest man in China. You know, what is it, Goldman Sachs? You know, JP Morgan? They give him a $26, $25 million loan. He's making $3 a week. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. I read the whole article to you. The international banking houses control industry, and they use people in cutouts to basically do what they want them to do. And then when they find industry that was started without their money, without their income, they buy them up for pennies on the dollar. They go in and try to do hostile takeovers. They've been doing it for centuries, guys. This is what they do. So just be aware of that. Be aware of the fact that It's not a Jewish conspiracy to impeach Trump. It's a synagogue of Satan slash Rothschild conspiracy to control both sides of the narrative. That's where we are. So don't get caught up in this impeachment mess. Just don't get caught up in it. All right, Austin, what do you think?
As well said, and speaking of the banks and everything, I just want to touch base on this. Understand that, yeah, when you hear about these guys getting these massive loans and these big giant checks and all this stuff and this funding for their companies, it's pretty much a clear-cut shot if you are just a middle-class citizen, like normal people like us, like our listeners, that those things don't happen to you in the real world. You don't get $25 million loans. It's ironic. I was talking to a buddy of mine, a real good friend of mine, last year. Him and his wife were looking at buying a house, and they applied for a mortgage, and he makes pretty good money. I mean, his wife works. He has a pretty good company he runs. So, I mean, they make very good money, and he was applying for a house. I think the house is somewhere around like $500,000-$600,000 down here in Florida. It's a nice place, and he was putting down a good amount, though. He was putting down like, you know, 30%, I think, on it. So, I mean, the risk, you know, they both had like 700-plus Beacon scores, so they're buying like, you know, a $500,000 house. They're putting down like $150,000 down on it, on a fixed asset, by the way. It's a house. It was like, there's like zero risk on paper. I mean, it's like an A-plus loan. And then they go in and they want the bank statements, the W-2s, 1099s, all this stuff. He's got all of it. He's got everything. And so then they come back in, and he called me up, and he goes, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" He goes, "The bank called me up, and they want to know why I deposited $5,000 in cash in my wife's account 6 months ago." I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "They want to know where the $5,000 came from." And I said, "Did you tell them that you keep money in savings at your house and, you know, you do a lot of business and construction?" He goes, "Yeah." "They want to know where the money came from." He goes, how do you show where the money came from when the money basically has been in my personal savings at my house?" And the whole deal ended up going sideways because they ended up pulling his leg more and more and more. Every time something happened, they, "We do see this. We know where this came from. We know where this $3,000 came from." He goes, "Are you kidding me right now? I'm legitimately showing you through my business that I'm coming up with $150,000 down on a $500,000 house, and you guys want me to show you how I deposited $3,000 in cash in my wife's account 6 months ago?" I mean, it baffled me because I really saw firsthand how unbelievably greedy these guys are, and how if it doesn't benefit them the way they want it to benefit them, they don't care about loaning you money. That's the irony about it. They always want to act like they're your friends. "Oh, we got a new loan for you. We got a new special for you. We got a new car loan for you. Oh, this, that, this, that." But then when it comes down time to it, when you're actually getting, you know, a 3.5% mortgage, and you're putting down a big chunk of cash, and you're doing a 15-year note, and you're planning on paying the house off really fast like he was doing, No. We're not going to do that for you. We don't care about doing that. We're not going to make any money on that house. You know, it doesn't matter. It's no risk. We're not going to make enough money on it. We want you to loan it out for 30 years, and we want you to refinance it in 5 years and get a higher mortgage rate. We want to do a balloon interest that blows up in 7 years. That's how we want to do it. If we're not doing that, we don't care. And this is how it works. So always understand, these banks are not your friends. That's a very, very clear-cut statement I made that's 100% accurate. They're not your friends. They're not in the business to be your friend. They're in the business to make insane amounts of money off other people's money. That's why they can loan 40-to-1 with fractional reserve banking. If you're very wealthy and you've saved up money your whole life and you have $1 million in cash in your savings account in the bank, they can loan $40 million in loans off that $1 million in your savings account. They love having your money in the bank because they make hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest off of it every single year. And then they go into, "Oh, we're going to give you, you know, 1.5% on, you know, we'll put it in the money market. Or we'll be real generous and give you 2% a year on that money." And you're thinking, "Oh, yay, I get some crumbs off the table." And you realize when you do the money on it and they're loaning out $40 million in loans, probably at 4, 5, 6% interest on it, they are absolutely crushing. And always remember, when you put your money in the bank, it is no longer your money. It is the bank's some money. And at any point in time, if they want to freeze your account, seize your account, hold your account, delay your account, they can do it without an explanation to you. So just understand that when you're dealing with a lot of these banks and loans and everything else, because I've seen it, been involved in it, absolutely insane when you realize what happens when they're not your friends anymore. Also, too, going back into health news, I wanted to bring this up as well because a lot of people drink sodas on a regular basis. And I keep talking about sodas on a regular basis, and I still hear about people drinking sodas on a regular basis. Sodas are unbelievably toxic, and I'm about to do some research articles here now for you to remind you not to drink them tomorrow at Thanksgiving. If you want to make a sweet drink, make some organic tea and sweeten it with monk fruit. We have monk fruit here on the shelves. We have stevia on the shelves. I prefer monk fruit. That's just my personal preference. But you can make an absolutely delicious sweet tea with monk fruit. You can also make a delicious lemonade, organic lemon, squeeze them in water, you know, add about 8-10 ounces of water, some lemon juice, put some monk fruit or stevia and make a drink like that. There's so many healthy options that actually be beneficial for you, and they don't have the negative side effects. Remember, Coca-Cola is around 2.3 on the pH scale because of all the phosphoric acid that's in it. Battery acid's in the 1 range. You know, you look at even beer, like you're like, oh, alcohol, beer. Beer's around like the 4 pH. You start getting into the distilled water, you're around 7 pH, you're neutral. The study published in the Journal of Circulation revealed that drinking just one sugar-sweetened cola a day can increase your risk of dying from heart disease by 31%. Previous studies have shown that all sugar-sweetened beverages, including soft drinks, fruit drinks, energy drinks, largest source of added sugar into the Western diet. In a current study, researchers from Harvard Chan School of Public Health examined data from 80,647 women and along with 37,716 men. For both studies, all participants completed questionnaires about their lifestyle and health status every 2 years. They went on, and this is a long-term research study. It's from 1986 to 2014. So, I mean, they did this for quite some time as far as this very, very long-term study. After considering the major diet and lifestyle factors, the Harvard researchers found that those who drank two or more servings of heavily sugar-sweetened beverages each day were 31% more likely to die from heart disease. And that risk increased as the consumption increased. Each additional sugary drink intake per day was linked to an additional 10% higher risk of cardiovascular disease-related death, and majority of those sugar drinks were sodas. They went on to found as well, the more sugary drinks a person drank, the more his or her risk of early death from cancer increased. They went on to show here that the study published in Public Health Nutrition found that frequent and long-term intake of these toxic beverages increased the risk of 11 obesity-related cancers regardless of your body weight. The Harvard researchers concluded that these findings support the known negative effect of high sugar drinks and sodas on metabolic risk factors, as well as strong evidence that drinking sugary beverages on a regular basis dramatically increases your risk of type 2 diabetes. Read the nutritional labels and ingredients on the drinks you are drinking, folks. Please just read it. Look at the level of sugar you're getting. Look at all the different just fillers, the phosphoric acid in these sodas. If you want to drink something I mentioned earlier, drink, you know, organic fruit infused water. Throw some fruit in water. Make some organic lemonade. Make some sweet tea and sweeten it with monk fruit. But stay away from these sodas. Not only are the health benefit, are the health side effects unbelievably horrific with this stuff, especially when you just drink one to two a day, it massively increases belly fat and over just obesity in general. Because remember, one soda, I think one normal 12-ounce Coca-Cola soda is upwards of like 150 to 200 calories. And remember, that's completely and totally empty calories. No protein, no fat, no significant anything whatsoever. Straight high fructose corn syrup sugar with phosphoric acid. It has no health values whatsoever to it at all. Stay away from it, because especially if you're eating Thanksgiving tomorrow and you're already eating a lot of food and you're trying to maintain a healthy weight over the holidays, and then you throw in two or three sodas throughout the day, you're adding in some cases another 300 to 500 calories just from a couple sodas of complete empty, sugar-laden calories that do nothing but cause non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which they've already linked to that as well. That's on a whole nother research article I didn't even bring up, and also massively increase your risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease and 11 cancers that they talked about in these articles. So understand that, be aware of it, and please cut that stuff out of your diet. And if you say, well, I'm going to drink the diet soda, it's a lot healthier for me, you still are drinking a 2.3 pH phosphoric acid-laden diet soda, and you're also getting a massive dose of either aspartame or sucralose. So understand what you're drinking and be sure that your body is a very, very, very complex machine, and dropping in almost 2 pH right above battery acid along with 30 to 40 to 50 grams of sugar in every single serving is not something that's conducive to a healthy body, Dad.
It's so funny. You could talk and talk and talk about diet sodas and sugar sodas, and people still, you go to the grocery store, they're still load your carts up with them. Like, and you got, they're all, most of them are obese. And it's crazy. Oh, by the way, a question came up this week about Global Sermons with Mark Rutland, Thai Orphanage. It's great. Great. Go, if you want to support them, do that. If you want to support them through our, through us, through what we do with them, you can support us at that, the donation page on our website, or you go directly to them. But now if you do it through us, it won't be a write-off for you. Just want you to know that. It's not a write-off because we're not nonprofit. But if you go directly to Mark Rutland's website, Global Servants, it'll be a write-off. Also, another thing, KYAH listeners out of Salt Lake City, we need to have some more of you guys call in who actually support Health Masters and who listen to the show and let us know that you're listening, because we're coming up with a contract that's due with the KYAH listeners first of the year, and we need to make sure that we have enough listenership based there who support us and who listen, who basically are going to help pay for the cost of the show being aired there. So if you'll call us up again, KYAH listeners, that's the 800 number, 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834, the Health Masters website, that'd be great. And while you're there, remember, we've got that 5% coupon on everything. I think it's Thanks 2019, 5% off store-wide, yep, including kits. Now, I don't like to push that very often. You guys, very rarely have, in fact, that's the first time I think I've ever done that I can remember. But guys, it's really important that you support us and you support Health Masters. I mean, even if you're just getting toothpaste and a multiple vitamin, which everybody buys, I don't want you to go into debt support us with your buying vitamins. Don't do that. Don't be not sharp and pay off your credit card. But do us a favor and at least get the stuff that you're using anyhow and help us to support the cost of the show, because it means the world to us to be here with you guys, and you guys are absolutely awesome, and quite frankly, I like hanging out with you every day. By the way, another article just came up and it says that this is PewDiePie. Now, PewDiePie has the largest, I never heard of this before, I don't know who PewDiePie is. He has the largest single individual YouTube audience in the world. He announced that he was going to give $50,000 to the ADL because it fights hate speech, bigotry, and prejudice in all forms. And what happened next came to a surprise to PewDiePie. He was slammed by a tsunami of basically criticism from his fellow YouTubers, and within 24 hours he made the announcement that he was not going to give any money to the ADL. He apologized and he said he needed to research his charities better, and quite frankly, that donating to the ADL was motivated by his hoping to put an end to the alt-right claims that have been thrown against me. Now listen to this. As former college professor and current editor of Culture Wars magazines, E. Michael Jones explains, PewDiePie ran into consciousness, the consciousness that exists out there among the people that he's supposed to be leading. Those people know and understand how that the ADL is not some disinterested philanthropic organization that fights for their rights. The ADL is the main author of the hate speech censorship campaign that has swept through places like YouTube on the internet. The ADL is involved in thought control. The ADL is the commissar that enforces psychological warfare on the population at large. Psychological warfare is the disruption of prohibited speech among subject peoples. Anyone who disagrees with the ADL will be demonized. The ADL has the power to ruin their careers, ruin their livelihood, and with total impunity. In the Soviet Union, this was done by state organizations. In the United States, it's done by privatized entities like the ADL. This brings us to the understanding that PewDiePie bumped into what is the ADL. Listen to this article. I've got it posted on the website. The ADL is a money laundering organization operation. It is a domestic espionage organization that spies on you. It keeps files on you and will use this material to destroy you. if you do anything they don't like, that is what they've been doing from the beginning. In exchange for contributions, the ADL will do its best to keep Jewish criminals out of jail. This has been their history from the beginning. Remember, it used to be the Anti-Jewish Defamation League. I've written about it already before when I talked about the show. There's a book that was written about it. It's called How Meyer Lansky Took Over the Cincinnati Ballet. It's available on Amazon. And now Meyer Lansky, the notorious criminal, made significant contributions to the ADL. It didn't work back then because the ADL at that time didn't have the clout that it has now. But Meyer Lansky's granddaughter did end up working for the ADL. Mo Dalitz, another notorious Jewish criminal, I'm reading right from this article, who was involved in rum running. This is, you know, basically slinging alcohol during Prohibition. He was the head of the, quote, Jewish Navy in Cleveland that brought illegal booze from Canada. He was involved in gambling and prostitution in places like Newark, Kentucky, and got run out of town by a Catholic prosecutor in Newport, Kentucky. The story is also about how Meyer Lansky took over the Cincinnati Ballet. In 1984, this is another quote, we reached a crucial turning point here. 1984, Mo Dalitz had given enough money to the ADL so that they gave him their Torch of Liberty Award. At this point, Mo Dalitz was no longer a gangster. He was legit, and anyone who said he was a gangster would be accused of being an anti-Semite. There we go, guys. In 1984, it's also a crucial year because this is the year the ADL got in the bed with the FBI, collaborating on what they said were hate crimes, which basically diverted the FBI from going after real criminals like Meyer Lansky and Mo Dalitz and getting them to apprehend or harass people the ADL didn't like, who were then classified as hate groups. It didn't stop there. The ADL was the bagman of the operation that got Mark Rich pardoned by President Clinton. The ADL gave an award to a certain Mr. Kirshner in Florida, and he was the one who arranged the sweetheart deal that got the late Jeffrey Epstein off the hook. It never ends, guys. So we have a consistent pattern here. The consistent pattern all of a sudden reached a tipping point. This was probably the moment in time where PewDiePie could have said ADL money, $50,000, and everyone would have cheered or no one would have objected. But those days are over. The consciousness is rising. Now we all know what a false flag operation is, and we didn't know what it was before. And now we know that the ADL is, and PewDiePie had to find it out the hard way. I'm going to post this entire article. You guys can continue to read it because it gets even more interested in this. And it's going to be posted to the Health Masters website, and it's going to be called PewDiePie Meets the Mafia. Analysis by Michael Jones. You guys can read through it. But guys, we have to understand that the international banking cartels control both sides of the narrative. The Anti-Jewish Defamation League got started back in the 1800s. It's been around for a long, 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 long time. And now they've changed the name because it didn't want to be just Jewish, it wanted to be the ADL, which could then do anything it wanted to do. And it's a very large organization, along with the American Israeli Political Action Committee, are two of the most powerful lobbying groups and organizations in the world. And we need to understand how they're used in censorship of quote-unquote what they deem to be hate speech. In other words, if we talk about what they do, or we talk about the Rothschild banking cartel, or we talk about the Kabbalah, or we talk about, you know, the Zohar, that's hate speech to these guys if they want it to be hate speech, and then they slam you and they basically harass you. Paul Craig Roberts, he was fussing about his Wikipedia page the other day. He says being completely, totally controlled, telling everybody he's an anti-Semite. He said he's not. He just tells the truth on both sides of the narrative, which is exactly what we do. Guys, we're doing the best we can in a very censored environment to say the truth about things. And quite frankly, we are like one of the only voices in the wilderness. Somebody asked me this morning, why in the world do you guys use the theme song from the, you know, the Last of the Mohicans in your beginning, in your entry of your show? And I say, simple. Austin and I are pretty much the last of the Mohicans, also known as true patriots. Love you guys. Austin, what do you think?
That was well said. I mean, there's only a few of them out there, and I know there's a lot of listeners that feel the same way. I mean, when you look at the amount of opposition that we're running into now, and this whole thing that we're seeing with the hate speech and anything you say is essentially, if the left doesn't agree with it, you're an, you know, anti-Semitic, racist, neo-Nazi. And we joke about that a lot, but it's becoming very prevalent. That's the way, and that's, if you look back at communism, that's always been the mantra. Is pretty much what you do is you demonize anybody that opposes your values. And you don't just disagree with them. You belittle them. You ostracize them. You essentially make what they do illegal. And if they do it, you make them gone. That's what they do. There's not this, well, you know what, I'm libertarian, you have your beliefs, I have my beliefs, don't bother me with yours, I won't bother me with yours, don't push them on me, I won't push them on you, we go our own ways, live and let be. There is none of that. It's, you follow what I tell you to follow, you believe what I want you to believe, you come and embrace it and give it a big kiss, or else we're going to bury you and make sure you don't exist anymore. That's how they act, and that's how they operate, and that is why I've repeatedly told everybody, we cannot allow ourselves to fall any further in this mucky, dark, sadistic hole of political correctness. And yes, I said sadistic for a very specific reason, because it is not any more political correctness in the aspect of trying to make sure we're not offensive to anybody. Political correctness is being used as a very, very aggressive censorship tool. That is why a lot of individuals on the left have been pushing, and have been pushing for a long time now, to make it illegal, to make it illegal to say anything that is offensive. They've already gotten it away in a lot of aspects with the media now and with the internet. You see now that they'll go in and they'll ban you, they'll block you, they'll shut down your entire social media account if you say something that's even remotely offensive, in most cases true, sad part. They do it all the time now. So this is what we're running into. And so again, thank you for the continued support. Also too, I saw this article and I saw this story. I thought it was quite interesting. I was just going to kind of bring it up, as it's something that's kind of unprecedented, but it's also something that's interesting. Last week, a lot of individuals probably didn't see this because it did not go mainstream. Oklahoma police lieutenant was indicted on second-degree murder for essentially killing a woman on May 20th who, during a vehicle pursuit, the media described her as road rage. Lieutenant Mitchell said he acted justifiable because the woman had actually shot at two police officers. She shot at her mother. Then she shot at a private citizen on the sidewalk and was then firing rounds in the air while police were pursuing her. Lieutenant Mitchell got behind her. He took his AR-15 and he actually shot through his front windshield at her, hit her, killed her, and she wrecked on a back road. Now, this is a very interesting story, because I'm sitting there looking at it and I'm going, you know, this lady was obviously putting numerous people in danger. She's running around town. She's a threat to everyone. She had a firearm that she was discharging unlawfully at innocent people, including at law enforcement, and they were trying to pursue her. And so it was very interesting to see this, because from what I have found, this would be the first time in American history that a police officer was charged with second-degree murder for shooting someone that was actually shooting recklessly around the area. Now, one thing that I saw, though, and this is what changed the narrative with the grand jury that indicted him on second-degree murder. They said when he was chasing her, he fired approximately 60 rounds out of his AR-15 while chasing her towards Oklahoma City. And what they're saying is that he basically exhibited gross negligence discharging that many rounds from a moving vehicle, and apparently at that time, she no longer had any more ammunition, is what they're saying. Now, whether or not that's accurate or not, I don't know. But 60 rounds, that's two mags. That's minimum of a full changeup in the car while you're driving. And so, I don't know. I wasn't in that position. All I know is we have a police officer in the United States just got indicted by a grand jury for second-degree murder. Pretty strong situation, and I just thought I want to kind of bring it up because I saw zero coverage of this on any media outlets whatsoever. I want to kind of bring it up and just something to ponder, something to think about, and go from there, Deb. I just thought that was definitely a very interesting situation to see that occur on both sides of him doing this, discharging that many rounds, her behavior, and now him being indicted on basically second-degree murder.
Make sure you post that on the Health Master's website. I haven't seen that yet. I want to read the article on that. Okay. Very interesting. But to discharge, you know, multiple magazines of weapons going down the highway, I mean, how was he aiming? I mean, good Lord, how do you, you're chasing somebody down the road and you're driving a car and you're trying to shoot with a .223, you're turning a lot of rounds loose. That's really negligent. I mean, yeah. Bullets just don't stop. Wouldn't it have been better just to have followed her until she stopped or even rammed her with his car or whatever he needed to do, but to discharge that many rounds? He could have killed a lot of people, Austin. It kind of reminds me of the Somalian up there in Minnesota. The lady calls the cops. Basically, she hears something in the alley behind the cops. She runs down to the car with her pajamas on, and the guy reaches across his partner and shoots her and kills her. I mean, yeah, one of those things. I wonder where this guy's from. I wonder what his nationality was. Just thought I'd mention that. By the way, Notre Dame students are calling for the complete removal of white authors from curriculum. And they got a picture of this unbelievably ugly lady. She looks like a rat. I should have said that, should I? But she's like a rat. And it's got her hair cut like a butch. She's, oh my gosh, she's ugly. And she's got, she's holding up two signs, and it says, "What is to be done? White lives matter too much." Now, what the heck? I'm so over these weirdos. Student activists at the University of Notre Dame are calling for the removal of white authors from university curriculum to decolonize the university. According to the students, diversity and diversifying the canon helps eliminate the violence of only privileged white scholarship. These people are absolutely stone-cold nuts. I don't know who dropped this lady on her head. The way she looks, she's been dropped on her head about 100 times. Bless her heart. But the reality is this. What's up with these clowns? And why do they have to be so ugly? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, but I did right before Thanksgiving. I guess I'm really not sorry because it's the truth. It's like they all look alike, sort of. I don't want to say that either. But, guys, it's just so sad to me that this is the state of affairs down at our major university systems, that we have people like this that run out there and say, we want all white author curriculum to be taken off the genre, so to speak, of students and education here. Yeah, good luck with all that. Hey, I love you guys. We're going to be playing tape tomorrow. I just want you to know. It's going to be a great tape. I want you guys to listen tomorrow. You guys have a blessed Thanksgiving. I love you guys. I prayed for you this morning, and I really hope you enjoyed the show today. God bless you. Also, go ahead and close it up.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thank you again for the support. I hope everybody has a blessed Thanksgiving holiday. Make some good, clean, healthy food. I'm not saying don't eat Thanksgiving food, but just make it with butter at least, organic butter, not a margarine or lard. You know, stay away from a lot of just nasty stuff and try to make the food at least just a little bit cleaner. That's at least my preference on it. And stay away from the soda. There's so many other options that you can drink that taste way better than guzzling down phosphoric acid all day long and dissolving the calcium in your bones while increasing your blood sugar and causing pancreatic issues. Just a thought on that. So again, thank you for the support. Be sure, I just gave it out again today for you guys. Thanks 2019, 5% off store-wide. HGH Stimulate product of the week kits, you name it, it works. Take advantage of that this week. That'll be going on until Saturday. So please be sure to check that out on the website, healthmasters.com. Thanks 2019. Have a blessed, safe, awesome day, awesome weekend, awesome Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again. We'll be back on Friday. Thank you, guys. Have an awesome night.